Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
On today's cast, we're diving into the weaponry used by the Imperium on the battlefront. But before we go, as always, follow and comment the podcast.
Positive comment.
Positive. Oh, yeah. It was implied. But if you're new to the cast and you don't like what you're hearing, turn it off. Anyway, so just saying, like, turn it off. Don't tell anyone. Anyway, if you're looking for a place to interact, if you like this cast and you like lore, please join our Discord. The link is in the show notes. This episode came directly out of the Discord. We cannot encourage you more when you guys hear this. You say, hey, we like what you guys are up to, but could you cover this? Ask us in Discord. If I think it's a terrible idea, I will tell you no. But usually I say yeah, and I add it to our list of things we have to cover, which is...
And we are super serious about this. But the thing is we really want you to tell us where to go, because we talked about this last episode. 40K Universe is, holy shit, big. We would love some guidance about the next thing you want to hear. Because we have plans for forever. We're on cast 700.
Yeah, we have the luxury of being on episode 43 right now. And I can, off the top of my head, list the next 200 that we're going to do.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy. But that being said, what I find interesting, what you find interesting, are different. And an episode of this, the weapons of the Imperium, it was always in the back of my mind. And enough people asked about it. They were like, yeah, let's just do that now.
Also, I would have never thought to do this. It's super interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting. But something we just,
I would have never thought unless the people in Discord asked us about it. So,
So it's
really you guys are guiding us towards what we want to do. Mm-hmm. Also, tons of fun stuff happens in our Discord. I know I'm shamelessly self-promoting, but it is a fun Discord.
It's a very fun Discord. We've got memes. We've got literature discussion. We've got general 40K. We even have gameplay discussion. If you're kind of like, oh, I've always loved 40K, but how do you play it? That's also in there. And it's not just Brad and I. There's a whole community in there, which is, again, why it's free, you jackasses who charge for Discord access.
I yell that so much for this, by the way. I'm
just so mad about that.
Everybody goes, you should charge. I'm like, or... I could be less of a dick.
I'm happy to charge people for access to things that cost me money, but a thing that costs me no money to charge someone for it just feels like a dick move. Anyway, skipping that, charging. We do have Patreon though. So if you do like what we're doing and you want to help us out, we have a Patreon. Please come on in.
We have filters.
We bought pop filters because of the Patreon. We bought new mic stands because of the Patreon. I actually upgraded our audio software because of the Patreon.
Sorry.
Does any of it matter? It might not. But we look at it, it looks mildly fancier than it did before. So there's that. Lastly, though, for Brad's sake, Brad does do 40K coaching, and I always want to bring it up to everybody. If you're newer to the game, not newer to the game, a veteran of the game, whatever it is, and you want to get better at the game, for those that don't know, Brad has been in the top five of all 40K players the last basically decade-ish.
I'm all right.
Yeah, he's pretty good at this game. But nice thing about Brad is he's not just a competitive player. As you can tell, he's kind of a lore bunny. So if you don't have to go to him like, well, hey, I was going to go play this like 8,000-person tournament.
Please, no. I actually like more when I have to put together something that's lore-friendly or funner and explaining... To be the best and also be the best Space Wolves or Tau or whatever, you know, be the...
Raven Guard, Centurion, Devastators?
Sometimes you get things nerfed. And I've done it a couple times. But, and if you're not nice to me, I will play your faction and get it nerfed.
But if you really want to get good at the game, if you have a faction that you hate, you really hate, you want out of the game... Convince Brad to play that faction a lot, and he asked the Space Wolf players about how they feel with Brad.
What? Nothing happened.
Anyway, on to the weapons of the Imperium.
Hold on. Oh. Old man Brad, 40k at gmail.com. There's nothing I like more than yelling that email out and watching John's face fall.
You're yelling an email address. Just say 1234@gmail.com would actually be more effective. Anyway, onto the weapons of the Imperium. So today we'll be diving into all the weapons, whether carried by troops or mounted vehicles, by Space Marines, Imperial Guards, Sisters of Battle, We're going to leave out Grey Knights, Admech, and Custodes Knights because their weapons are actually, we'll do some Knight weapons in this. Their weapons are a little bit specific to need. These are the ones that the idea is this is the stuff that the
Imperium. There's a huge version with the Knights. They have a lot of specific to Knights because they're all vehicle mounted, not even just vehicle.
Knight mounted
weapons.
The idea of this was to talk about stuff that the Imperium's kind of producing in mass. Stuff like the Sisters carry, Space Marines carry, the Guardsmen carry. Grey Knight weapons are secret. You know, Custodians, there's not that many of them. And then Admech, we'll cover the Admech psychotic weapons in the Admech cast because they're out of their damn minds.
True story.
So yeah, Last Cannons, Plasma, Melta, Bolters, but we're going to skip like Cyclonic Melta Lances, Analyst Autocannons, some of the really specific ones. Nah. So let's jump in. And let's jump into the, we'll start with ranged weapons. For all you people who actually like to do that.
Let's talk about my least... I got to get my chi together for this. I'm really psyching up here.
Yeah.
There isn't another weapon that in the lore is more disappointing of a son than bolt weaponry, for sure.
I'm going to argue Melta, but we'll get there. We'll get to Melta in a bit.
You know, maybe, but only because of the hitting.
Yeah, that's because, well, it's because Melta's... You're shooting a...
Bolt weapons... in the game are low strength, low AP, one damage. I guess if you go heavy bolter, you two damage. But like as a whole, pretty much meh. Let's talk about what a bolt actually is.
A bolt weapon is, it's a weird round. So it's not necessarily a bullet. It is a rocket propelled.
It's an RPG.
Yeah, it actually is. It's a rocket-propelled grenade. Each bolt sits in a shell. When the user pulls the trigger, it launches the shell out of the barrel. As it comes out of the barrel, the rocket ignites. And it goes right towards its target. Then when it senses...
It's a smart weapon.
Then when it senses it's entered some sort of not air, it then explodes. So yeah, it's a little mini RPG in a gun.
And it's also huge.
Yeah.
The Marines are firing what, like, they're more than 50 cal. They're huge. They're gigantic. Their handheld weaponry is bananas in the size of it. And in the game, it is vanilla of nothing weapons.
In the game, it's gonna wound less than half the time. You're shooting a rocket-propelled grenade at something.
You're not even firing a rocket-propelled grenade. You are firing automatic RPG launcher.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does damage and sometimes it doesn't. This would destroy the war front of anybody.
I think what the important thing about bolters is that it is the most diverse weapon in the game. There's a small variant, a rapid-fire variant, heavy variant. Mass fire variants, even Titans have them.
True, but when I think about the bolter effectively
says... Let's start with the bolt gun. Yes, let's start with what I called Old Bessie.
Yeah.
It's the bolt gun.
The bolt gun is... But it is the Space Marine. It is their holy weapon.
Mm-hmm. To Brad's point earlier, it's about a 25 millimeter round or 1 inch in diameter, which doesn't... If you like guns, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't worry about it. It's not important. But these are... It's supposed to be this highly accurate round that can blow through armor. It'll blow through a wall. It'll do anything.
This is the go-to. This is the weapon that the Emperor said. This is the weapon. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to take back the galaxy with. This was the go-to.
Yeah.
And it's so destructive that I'm going to give it to each and every one of my sons, all of the Marines, are going to have a holy bolter.
Yeah, and then they're all going to wound on fours if they're lucky.
A fours? Yeah, maybe.
If they're lucky.
Yeah.
And it has no armor penetration whatsoever.
It's an explosive round. This thing should be destroying shit.
It's because the armor's really good.
If it had poison, it'd probably kill more people.
It'd be great. It actually, I do laugh at
mow down Marines at that point in time.
I more laugh at what it does to a guardsman, which is they save. And so there's a few different variations of this. First, obviously, the smallest is going to be your bolt pistol, which is just a...
Bolt pistol makes sense to me because effectively what we're saying when we say bolt is effectively it is a standard gun.
The term bolt is It just standard. Yeah. Exactly.
It so just means that you have a stock ammunition, you have a magazine, you know what I mean, you're shooting something.
Yeah.
So the bolt pistol, I'll give this to it. The bolt pistol lore to tabletop isn't that much difference because the bolt pistol is supposed to be a significantly smaller version.
Well, given the bolt pistol has the same rules as the bolt gun on the tabletop.
Correct.
Just with less range. Yeah, the bolt pistol holds up to lore. The bolt gun fails miserably.
Yeah. Because in the lore, when you're reading the books, somebody shoots their bolt pistol. Yeah, they're killing this and that. You know, we've read it in the Inquisitors and everything like
it's
that.
Always, also. It's always someone unarmed and it blows them apart.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, that's what they're doing. But the bolt pistol is a sidearm.
Yeah.
It is a sidearm. It is not a main weapon.
The next one is the bolt rifle, which was an advent of 8th edition. So the Primaris Marines, Call creates them. They're larger. So he gave them a bigger gun that actually had AP this time.
Heavy intercessors have a significantly better weapon. I mean, it's not even significant. It's holy shit. In the game, it's wildly different.
It is. The issue I had with this was like at one point, the bolt rifle and the intercessors first came out was a lot better. And then all the firstborn got super upset. So they had to roll it back.
Yeah.
But anyway, but the bolt rifle is the bolt gun, a little bit larger, slightly higher caliber with better armor penetration.
This one actually makes more sense to me.
Mm-hmm. The bolt rifle's what the bolt gun always should have been.
Correct. Yeah. By the way, 100%. I like this. I think that all Marines should have had
this the entire time.
Yeah. The rules feel better. The lore feels better. Everything jives a little bit better. Maybe GW found their mojo 30 years in. So I like this significantly better on this.
The next one I hate. Well, actually, no, sorry. The next one is, as much as you talk about how the bolt gun is a disappointment on the tabletop, not compared to the Storm Bolter. Because the Storm Bolter breaks my soul. The Storm Bolter is two bolt guns strapped together.
It's an it's also automatic.
Yeah. So it's a double barrel automatic gun.
It's supposed to be putting out a withering rate of fire. That's the hope. Terminators have Storm Bolters and they come down and they just carpet.
Yeah. Everything in front of you. Every story you read in the lore about a Terminator is just wrecking shop. It's usually because in one hand was a Storm Bolter, other hand was a sword or a power fist. And just went, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and wreck everything.
And they're laying down this cover fire of just whatever's over there is getting ruined because we're putting out this volume of fire. And in the game, to be honest, the Storm Bolter isn't bad at all. Because it does put out a good volume of shitty fire.
Yeah, doing nothing, just bouncing off stuff. Again, 20 Terminators took out, what was it, 10,000 Genie Stealer cults?
They've killed worlds before.
Yeah, and not in this. But anyway.
But also it's supposed to, a good point on this in the notes, the Storm Bolter, was one of the things that it was made for is boarding actions.
Yeah.
Because the Storm Bolter puts out just I don't know what's over there. I will just shoot everything over there and it will just die because I put down 7,000 rounds in 2 seconds from the unit and that goes in. In the game, does it translate? No. Does it translate in Space Hulk? Kind of.
Yeah, in Space Hulk, it works. I mean, that's the thing. So I like it a lot in the lore because to your point, a Terminator going down a hallway just wrecks shop. That's what it does.
Kill team the Bolter feels better too.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. So fair enough. That's where it's supposed to excel on the tabletop.
It's very disappointing.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about a lot of different weapons. I don't get me wrong. I'm doing a cast about it. I love 40K. But man, the bolt weapons from when I read them to seeing them on the table.
Yep. I'm telling you, when we get to Melta, you're going to hear my anger come out.
This is a dual thing for me because this was my first unit I ever bought was a unit of Terminators.
Yeah.
Terminators came with the Bolter, but also they got shot by guardsmen. And the combination of these two was what the hell, man?
Come on. Yeah. So the next level up, though, from the Bolter is the heavy Bolter, which is about 25%.
Now, this is the 50. Bolter. The 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the heavy Bolter is meant for, all right, I've got my Bolter. It's bouncing off that opponent. Bring the heavy Bolter.
It's also long. It's supposed to be significantly longer range. Heavy Bolter, obviously not up to the lore, but I'd say that Heavy Bolter, for the entirety of the time that I played the game, which is 25 years now, the Heavy Bolter has been, sorry, everybody, I'm making my usual sports reference that no one will get because it's also an old man reference. Heavy Bolter is the Cal Ripken Jr. of weapons. Jesus. Exactly. What I'm saying is it's been consistently okay for 25
years. That's true. The Heavy Bolter in the game has actually been quite good. Heavy Bolter is cool because they're increased size. They're usually deployed as like a heavy weapons team if you're regular guardsman.
Longer
very
range.
Special, yeah, very special. Space Marines can carry it. One of the Gaunt's Ghosts actually carries one around, which is kind of badass.
Which is a huge deal for a regular human because it's a huge gun. Yeah.
So the Heavy Bolter serves its purpose, as Brad said. You got a bigger opponent, the Heavy Bolter will drop it. Yeah, you got an Orc invasion, you bring out the Heavy Bolter, it's going to drop it.
Heavy Bolter's stats on the table should be irregular Bolters. How about that? The Heavy Bolter just does okay.
Yeah. One of the... I've actually, you know what's funny? As I'm going through this, you know who the most disappointing of the Bolter weapons is to me? The Hurricane Bolter. Because, so the Hurricane Bolter whereas the Storm Bolter is two guns strapped together, the Hurricane Bolter is six. And there's a really good Land Raider that's got two of these on it that looks amazing. And most players get sucked into building one of these. I'm one of them. And you put it on the tabletop because this giant tank with all of the guns.
Hey, double
shot. Be amazing.
Double shots when you're within rapid fire range.
Yeah, that thing was awesome. And it doesn't do shit. But anyway, in the lore, the Hurricane Bolter just removes.
Well, let's talk about the lore because this is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Because he's talking about the Crusader version of the tank. Oh. Because the reason is this tank exists is the Hurricane Bolters put out such a volume of fire that it basically made everybody get down. So the guys inside would assault out of the front of the tank.
Guns are on the sides of it, shooting forward, and then the opening is in the front.
Yes. So it'd be an assault platform, and the Hurricane Bolter was putting out such a huge volume of fire that there's no way people could prepare for the hand-to-hand melee assault that was coming out of there. Mm-hmm.
Which was actually Terminators coming out of it too. Yeah. So it was like, this was a tank armored transport combo that pulls up, puts out thousands of shots at the same time. And then the front door opens while it's shooting and Terminators with Storm Bolters come running out. Yeah. Removes the problem.
It's badass.
Yeah.
In the lore, this thing ruins stuff. In the game, I'm going to have to say, I know you said you didn't like the Hurricane Bolter on it, but like the combination of Hurricane Bolter and Terminators is pretty iconic and kicked ass for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Flamers now. But
the thing is, if someone rolls up on you with Terminators and Hurricane Bolters.
I mean, now. Yes.
Yeah, like, oh, okay. That's, I'm going
to win. But for a long time, thank you very much. It was a really iconic combo.
It was, and it should always be an iconic combo is my issue with it. So...
The Redeemer Land Raider didn't exist for a long time. Thank you very much.
Now, to kind of conclude bolt weapons, are they cool? Yes. Are they devoid of any value in the tabletop? Kind of.
Nah, I mean, they're not, but they are.
They're just not compared
to what they are. You know what I mean?
It's one of these areas where they're not bad in the tabletop, but just in the lore.
It's just in the lore, especially if you've ever watched, if you go to Hammer and Bolter on the GW website or the... I guess it would be, what is the...
Warhammer Plus.
Warhammer Plus, sorry. If you go to the Warhammer Plus and you watch some of the videos of them laying down a hail of Bolter fire, that's what it's supposed to be on the table. It's just, it's not. Are they the worst? Absolutely not.
They're not the worst. They're just not.
This falls, you're going to say Malta. I really think that bolt weapons are the farthest from lore to tabletop.
I think the farthest from the story lore, I think from a, like, where I, this is where I'll give you, we'll get to Melta later. What I'll give you is when you read the stories, you read the Black Library, you read any story in 40K, the Bolter is this amazing weapon that just wrecking.
It just kills so many people.
I'm talking about what a Bolter is versus what a Melta is like, I'm like, man.
I can do that. You know, we'll debate that when we get to Melta, but I just, for me, the bolt weapon is so far off from the story, I guess.
Yeah, it's dredging. But after bolts, let's move on to lasers, because lasers are cool.
Lasers are
lame. Lasers are cool. So The cool part about lasers, I like this game, is that the following things are all lasers. And we're going to start at the very base of it, which is the last
gun. Whoa, John. Did you recite your litany before you try to say such heresy?
It's true. If you recite your litany, the lasgun's the greatest weapon that exists.
Clearly, we talked about this in two different casts.
Yeah, it is. The lasgun is both accurate. It is devastating.
Penetrates any armor.
And you can hit things with it. So lasguns are cool.
Always works. It's your fault if they don't.
And I actually took some time on this to learn what a lasgun is. So actually how they all work. So what they all do is it's an energy core that just takes your photons and agitates them till they get, and then has a chamber. It's going to spiral and they're going to shoot the photons.
It effectively has a mirror, by the way.
It's all mirrors. Yeah, it's all mirrors. It fires the photons out. And that's why it's called a laser.
Lasgun. Yes, I am doing pinky up in the fat.
I like these things a lot for a number of reasons. One of them is I actually work in dental manufacturing. So CAD, CAM, and CNC is a big part of my life. So they're super cool.
None of those acronyms mean nothing to me.
It's fine. And then I also do want to point out one other little note. The very first ever in the history of sci-fi appearance of the lasgun was in Dune.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, man. No one's ever referenced or stolen anything from Dune, probably ever in 40K. So yeah, this is about the only time.
The first time that they ever just stole stuff. The lasgun, though.
It was me joking.
The lasgun does have the next layer up from the lasgun is what they call the hotshot lasgun, in which case they just take the original lasgun and add an extra backpack for more energy.
So, I'm sorry, but like, why? I'm getting my chi together right now, everyone. What the hell is in every lasgun a hotshot lasgun?
There's too many guardsmen. And
it doesn't even make sense.
Some of them are just there to die.
It's plug in an extra battery. That is literally a hotshot lasgun.
Yeah.
It is, hey man, you know how to make your lasgun better? Plug the cable in to another battery. Boom. Technology.
Double the power. Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, the hotshot lasgun is primarily used by Kasserkins, Scions, you know, also known as Special Forces, and the Skitarii Rangers actually have it as well.
Hotshot lasgun also used to kill you, so.
Yeah, the hotshot, I forgot they used to explode.
Yeah.
No good reason, by the way.
Just battery pack. Absolutely no reason. Yeah,
they never explode.
It's the exact same technology as the lasgun,
which doesn't explode.
No, they have no chance of exploding. But if you plug it in twice.
I guess that makes sense. You know.
No, it does not. Don't cross
the streams.
Don't cross the streams. Fuck it. I have nothing for that. Just continue. This now, is my favorite weapon.
Yeah, let's move into the... Oh, God, you've done everything you can get this weapon nerfed.
I love this. Count.
So, the las cannon. So, the las gun, cool. The hotshot las gun, a little bit cooler. What if we bring a generator and hook it onto the last gun? Then what do you get? Now you get a las cannon.
It's awesome.
Yeah. The las cannon, it's one of the more iconic weapons of 40K.
It punches through armor.
Yeah. The las gun is carried. Imperial Guard, you put it on vehicles. They have special weapons team. Devastator squads.
Space Marines walk around because their badassery is untold.
The last cannon was made to shoot down knights. That's what it was for.
It's a vehicle killer. It legitimately punches holes through them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even just blow shit up. I mean, it punches a hole through it.
Yeah, and the only thing that's annoying about the las cannon in the lore is the way a las cannon is supposed to function is you have a very large charge pack that you put in it. It then consumes the entire charge pack, which you then throw away and put a new one in.
That's true, because no one's changing out.
Yeah, logistically, that would be impossible.
Well, in some of the stories, they do a good job of it. And on the tabletop, they do terrible. Because in the lore, you have servitors and shit like that that are constantly just reloading your gun as you move up.
Yeah, the way a las cannon should function, you should have a las cannon, then you should have like a generator behind it. That's charging packs. And each time you fire,
you basically have somebody reload
it. It actually makes no sense as a mobile weapon, is what I'm getting at. It makes complete sense.
It makes sense as a tank weapon.
It's a tank weapon.
Because you just keep loading it inside.
Or as like a fixed position weapon.
No, but the Marine weapon.
Devastator Marine, I'm like.
Nah, it makes no sense, but it's awesome. It looks cool as shit. Because the las cannon, especially on the old Firstborn Marines, is significantly bigger than the model.
Yeah.
I mean, like, their cannon is so much bigger than the actual guy.
And the cool thing with the last cannon is that effectively, because all it is just energy transfer. So the more energy you put in, the more power you get. So what you see is the last cannon has the one we talk about, Space Marines and Guard carry them, some vehicles have them. Then you get to Magna Las Cannons, Las Talons, and Solex Heavy Las Cannons, which are these monstrosity Las Cannons. I mean, they put Las Cannons on Imperial Knights, which will punch a hole in a almost planet.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Like, in fact, the Imperial Navy uses them. Well, they will punch a hole in another spaceship.
Well, they're supposed to be shield. One of the big things is that this is a lot of the small short stories. Mm-hmm. They teach the guys with the last cannons and the variations of the last cannons that they're not supposed to just shoot willy nilly because they're just putting holes in stuff. They're supposed to be shooting at their reactors and things of that nature.
It'll blow the reactor up, or in theory, a last cannon could cut the leg off of an Imperial Knight while walking.
But you don't want to just put holes in something. Yeah. You want to hit reactors, hit main systems. So they're taught to pinpoint. So a last cannon is weird because it's not just spraying the earth with a heavy bolter. You're accurate, but you're shooting at the target.
Exactly.
Last cannon, you're supposed to be almost sniping the target.
That's great. That is a great way to put it. Yeah, I was about to say it's almost a sniper weapon. Yeah. Exactly, for vehicles. It's kind of useless in Horde. If you had if you're getting attacked by 1,000 Termagants, the last cannon guy's like,
it kills one guy.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab my pistol. It's actually significantly
better.
Yeah. One of my favorite ones, though, of those variants we spoke about, is the volcano cannon.
This,
because it has a cool story behind it as well.
It's slightly dumbed down than it used to be, but man, this thing still does damage. Like,
oh, and a shadow sword.
Yeah. Oh, just any of them. I mean, and now you, Castellan's got this.
Yeah.
Well, all of the yes.
Yeah. So there's a special variant of the Bane Blade called a Shadow Sword that has one of these on it. The Volcano Cannon is designed to take out an Imperial Knight. And by take out, I mean just blow a hole in it.
Oh, it is
bananas
big and strong.
But what I like about it is the lore behind it. So every Las Cannon has focusing crystals.
God, you're going to talk about this stupid...
This story's funny.
Planet Las Cannon or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, all right, first off, we'll get to the name of the planet in a second, because go GW, I'm phoning this one in.
Yeah, by the way, I made a joke. I'm not that far off.
Yeah, it's not the best name. Anyway, so every Las Cannon has focusing crystals that has to shoot through. So they're manufactured. Just like you'd make a fake diamond.
Or like a lightsaber?
Yeah.
Like a kyber crystal?
Yeah, that's how they did it. So the volcano cannon comes from a planet named Cinderus.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For cinders.
My name wasn't that much dumber than what that is.
The story is cool, where it was a site where Cinderus, there was a Psyker rebellion
in Cinderus. True.
And at the end of the rebellion, it was all put down. They took all the Psykers and dumped them into the lava rivers all around the planet.
This is so...
This is like super messed up.
This is super messed because they literally made psychic lava soup.
Yeah. Yeah, they just shoved all the Psykers into the lava pits. Whatever. They'll be fine.
It's real. They started harvesting the psychic crystals that happen when apparently you boot a dead Psyker into a lake of lava.
Yeah.
You can just fish out magic crystal of dead guy.
Yeah. And so they harvested these crystals, which is funny because when they fire the lance through the focusing crystals, it gives off the sound of Psykers screaming. And the idea is this is their punishment, is their souls are trapped in these crystals. And they're being tortured to death.
And remember, everybody, the Imperium are the good guys.
Exactly.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
It's time to accept it. The holidays are upon us, and finding gifts for people is never easy or really fun. Luckily, we at the 40K Lorecast have a new sponsor, which will help you make your holiday shopping fast and easy. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Add some personalization to your holiday shopping with Uncommon Goods. Did I go there and buy the game Fart Bingo? Yeah, I did. Is it for my child to play with his friends? We'll go with, yeah. At the same time, I was able to get a cocktail smoker.
So yeah, those are probably all for me. Anyway, that's what's great about Uncommon Goods. They have uncommon, get it, collection of items you can choose from, allowing you to pick up a fun variety of items this holiday season. You'll find thousands of gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. So, shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/40klore, 40klore. That's uncommongoods.com/40klore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Now we'll go into one of the more controversial ones in the game. Plasma.
I'm sorry. Did you mean to say the Tau weaponry of choice that's better than the Imperium?
Oh, yeah. I mean, plasma is... Okay, so let's go through what plasma is. It's just superheated energy, just hydrogen fuel that uses magnets to shoot it out. Kind of like Gauss, if that was a thing that GW knew how to name correctly. The idea of plasma is that you effectively are shooting a sun at an opponent. The problem is that the amount of energy required, if you're in the Imperium, means that it may explode.
Well, you can... The best... I gotta get my chi together on this one again. My favorite part about plasma in the Imperium is you can shoot your plasma weapon as is. No problems. Or... You can turn that shit up to 11.
And this, right, because if you shoot this normal, no explosion. If you overcharge it, just like for those of us who build computers, if you overclock it, then yeah.
You might die. Just straight die. What?
Plasma. It's just annoying to me because the Imperium has never mastered it, but the Tau were just like, it's like
instantly figured it out.
Like, this is not a problem to us at all. Tau
instantly figured out plasma, Imperium consistently blowing themselves up.
Yeah. And they make the argument, if you read the lore, about the way that the Imperium uses plasma, it disrupts the containment field, and the containment field overloads, and then the plasma explodes. And blah, blah, blah.
I blacked out for a minute. Did you just say don't cross the streams?
Yeah, it was basically.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure we were saying that.
Plasma is funny because it is. It's just superheated energy fired out at something. And the Tau were like, well, yeah, just, I don't know, make sure the magnetic field around it doesn't fail. And then there's no issues. And the Imperium went, I'm not putting that much effort in.
Great.
They at least have fixed the rules a little bit. Because I heard hazardous would take out a vehicle.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
Also, yeah.
Yeah, that was dumb. Of course, back to kind of regular guns, there are sniper rifles in the game.
Sniper rifles in the game and the lore are equally awesome. Sniper rifles, number one thing, lore to game.
Yeah.
Fight me. I think it's the best translation. Sniper rifles are great at taking out characters. They've got a good strength. They've got a good AP and killing ratio.
Well, and the lore actually lines up with them pretty well.
Yeah.
What I like about sniper rifles is that what they did was, it's a bolt gun. That's all it is, with better aim, and is mostly used by the child soldiers of the Space Marines.
God damn it.
All those scouts.
Fucking Jesus.
But what they did was, when they wrote in the lore about sniper rifles, is they made it so they're just incredibly accurate with really good scope. So you're actually aiming and trying to hit the gaps of the armor, which is what makes it so powerful. And if you remember back to our coverage of the Space Marine, of the evolution of Space Marine armor, there were gaps. It's one of the challenges of the armor.
For multiple sets.
Yeah, there are gaps in the armor. So if you've got someone who's, you know, maybe a very small child with very small fingers as a soldier, I'm kidding. But if you take someone who's a very good shot and you give them a gun that's incredibly accurate, with a scope that's got great distance, then they can dial in and they can hit those gaps and therefore exploit it to make the bolt actually work correctly. There are a few other variants to it, which is funny. One is the long LAS, which is the same thing, but a LAS gun. Another one is the LAS Fusil, which is a LAS cannon, and the same thing.
Primaris Marines for the win on that. Well, I guess Gravis armor at the win of that.
Another one I do like is the Needler, which just shoots poison needles. So we know who that's for.
There wasn't even a reason to put this in. There's like three weapons in the entirety of 40K that have ever had this rule.
Yeah. And I'm going to point out the needle gun that can poison you. They have low AP, but then you
die. It had no AP.
And then you die. And then my favorite one, which we're going to do on the Assassin cast, which is the Exodus rifle, which is woof.
Yeah, that's a significant gun.
Yeah, the Exodus rifle will, I mean, it can take out
the Vindicare is not screwing around.
Yeah, the Vindicare hits you.
Also, another thing on Warhammer Plus, that episode with the Vindicare.
Yeah.
Also, pretty worthwhile to watch. You know what I mean? Here's my thing. Get a subscription, watch all of it, and do whatever you want. I eventually want to get sponsored. GW, give me some money. I'll keep telling you stuff.
Yeah, it's fine.
So they still haven't given us any money, John?
Nope. Haven't reached out yet. Weird. I wonder if it's the all me making fun of some of their models. It's probably not helping. It's like, oh, look. They copy and pasted the same story and changed two names.
Us making fun of that. And every one of your emails is answered by the guy that wrote the Tau book.
I don't know. When we do the Eldar cast, I think we might get some love because that's going to be some fanboying. The next one I'm going to cover real quick are just missile launchers. It's a missile launcher.
I don't hate the missile launcher.
Yeah. It's just a missile launcher. It shoots a missile. They did add a few different ones, frag, crack, gas, virus.
I swear to God, if you go into the gas one, it's a poison missile.
It's a poison missile.
God damn it.
They also, I like the rad missiles. Oh, and the virus missile, that also might get them too, because they wouldn't be able to stop that.
Can't stop the poison.
I do like a vortex and haywire.
That was old school though. Vortex.
Oh, these are all long gone.
Yeah, vortex.
These are long gone.
And haywire. What was the psych out?
Yes, psych out.
Gray Knights.
Yeah, so I was doing the research for this, what I did discover is that if you go to Lexicanum, which is one of the better sites for kind of when I start writing the cast, I usually start at Lexicanum to kind of figure out some sources and that kind of stuff. So
they have a cool bibliography too.
Yeah, so it's their bibliography is helpful to me because I'll go to Lexicanum note and then that basically tells me what I have to go reread to make sure I'm ready for it. On Lexicanum, there are 25 missile variants for the missile launcher.
God damn it, John.
But they're almost.
I should have looked this up. I now want to know because I was thinking of in my head, I'm thinking of all the missiles I've ever shot.
Yeah.
In the game. I still think snipers are number one, lore two game.
Yeah.
But missiles don't miss the mark that bad.
They don't miss the mark at all. And the issue with the missiles is just that there's a lot of them in the stories that don't exist on the tabletop, which makes sense. I mean, I don't really want.
Well, they have vortex single missiles. Yeah. Well, they also have like a bunch of single type stuff. Every time, when someone has to shoot a specific missile to take out X thing, they shoot a missile.
I'm actually glad you brought that up because I would have totally forgotten about that. In the lore, they will actually customize missiles for opponents, which is really cool.
Well, they had shield breaker missiles and things of that, which are still in the game, actually. But like they've had a lot of different specific missiles for
Missile becomes a vessel of delivery for whatever the enemy is. So if they're fighting someone who's like susceptible to poison, for example, can't imagine who that would be. More importantly, they actually would have like warp missiles that would be, or they'd be effectively anti-warp against orcs. They had stuff that would affect kind of the way the orcs would communicate. These are all things that they have developed, and the missile launcher becomes a delivery method.
Yeah, you're firing what is the bomb basically that we're sending off? They've got some pretty high tech, cool things in the stories. There's been a lot of things that they shot at opponents that there's a lot of disruption. Either they've also done they had the hive mind disruption missile. That was actually something that's been shot multiple times.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, where they cut off the
synapse. Yeah, and they were able to. Yeah, and these are things in the lore that are awesome. Obviously, just on the tabletop. Be cool if they did.
Oh, man, how cool would that? You know what? That would be awesome if Death Watch had access to multiple missile types.
Yeah, so they're just
they got the ammunition, but
Death Watch are.
They should have that, though.
Nothing to do with what we're doing here, but let's talk about it real quick. Death Watch, I think, are the ones that GW is most afraid to write rules for because the Death Watch rules should make them auto win against Zenos.
100%.
Every time. And they're like,
they do is just have weapons that screw with Zenos.
Yeah, basically. I mean, they lost the special weapons that would like stop Necron reanimation. That was a cool one.
They had a ton of they have everything that the Imperium has figured out. They used to have, or at least in lore, they have
even tabletop.
Yeah,
but anyway, from there, let's jump into flamers, which are a yin yang for me. Are they cool? Yes. Do they have a bit of lore that's stupid? Also, yes. So let's party.
They can do mortal ones.
Yeah. So, well, the flamers are, it's a flamethrower. And the question I had when looking at these was like, well, what's the fuel source on this? Because as we said, there's stories where a Terminator with a heavy flamer took out 1,000.
All I have to say is salamanders.
Yeah. So how do you transport this? So they use something called promethium. And this is going to give me an aneurysm in a second, but we'll get there.
Are you talking about the next time you're going to have to talk about unobtainium?
Well, no, because we'll get there in a second. So promethium in the lore is a special fuel that when it's exposed to air ignites and burns. I think this is meant to be, there's a few elements that actually will do this. If you expose them to air, they actually will combust. Some of the sodium and water, etc. That being said.
Yeah, but this sets like stone in a row.
Yeah, it does. The problem is that promethium's a real thing, Brad. There's an actual element called promethium. Yes, much like the GW, they're naming it after Prometheus, who stole fire from the gods to give to mankind. The problem is that promethium, the element...
Wait, nothing bad happened to him,
right? It's just highly radioactive. That's all it does. It doesn't ignite. It just gives you cancer. That's what it does.
Look, man. Radioactive element. Guy that
could have done anything.
Look, a guy that stole fire from the gods and absolutely nothing bad happened to him.
Yeah, so what, the hawk ate his liver for all of eternity and it
came every day.
But what I'm getting is, like, this drove me nuts because the GW wrote it. And so then I always want to give GW the credit. This is why they won't sponsor us, by the way. But I'm going to give them the credit where I'm like, okay, well, maybe is promethium a newer element? Is it one of the ones that we made? Nope. 1902.
We could be sitting on Easy Street right now if you quit bad-mouthing the goddamn overlords of our souls.
Yeah. No. Anyway, so promethium is a real thing, much like the Necron Gauss. GW just decided to take something that exists and give it a new name and move on with their day.
You know what? We're not talking about this because it's mostly the Imperium. But like, after we talked about Necron Gauss,
yeah,
it bothered me so much on my ride home.
They're like, yeah, they didn't. They just.
I was like, that does already exist, and I know about it
exactly. And you're just like, yeah, it's a Gauss weapon. And you're like, wait.
No, it's not.
That's a thing. They took a thing that existed and then just went with it. And that's what promethium is. But let's dive into one that we were foreshadowing a little bit, flamer, or Meltus. Meltus is a combination of a flamer and a plasma.
Yeah, with a fusion reactor. Yeah.
So they take it's a portable fusion reactor that uses
the Ghostbuster gun.
Promethium and pyrum. In this case, I'm going to go with them and say they're right in the promethium. It's a radioactive isotope that you then take, it mixes together, and by the way, pyrum is made up. They use one that exists and one that doesn't exist. But these two mix together, and it shoots an active sun out the barrel at something.
Yeah, but it shoots a liquid.
Yeah, liquid. It's sun.
Plasma. It's literally
actual plasma. Yeah, not a made up energy plasma.
Right. I'm saying it's a plasma. That's what it is. It's a superheated plasma. You know what I mean?
It is a fusion reaction.
I'm 70% right. And then I know that somebody's going to just destroy me in the fucking comments about that. But it is also the Ghostbuster gun.
It is, yeah. Well, no, the Ghostbuster gun's more.
Well, as a beam, yeah.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
If the Ghostbuster gun shot out one beam and that was it, that's what melt is.
Yeah, so what melt does, it kind of shoots out, it's like beams like chunks. It's like a section of like...
it's literally a blob.
Yeah.
It's a blob of superheated, you shoot out a mini sun at something.
It will melt anything. Ceramite, plasticine, necrodermis.
Also, how are you missing with melta when you shoot a vehicle?
Well, it's the Talarn. They're really quick. I mean, melta is amazing. Melta should hit things, and whatever it hits just is gone now.
I mean, okay, ready? Pull out of two people sitting in a basement. What is underrepresented? Wraith cannons or melta guns?
Oh, wraith cannons are worse.
Because wraith cannons just take a part of you and make you go to the warp.
Yeah, wraith cannons are worse. We'll get to them. Wraith cannons are worse. I mean, we're kind of this intentionally where we're kind of shitting on all of the Space Marine and the Imperium stuff first, because when we get to Eldar,
oh Jesus,
namely just the Solitaire,
Well, it is like, any of their weapons should instantly kill everything.
It
in the
is
game.
Remarkable.
No save, strength 1000.
Yeah. And they've had them a couple of times. They let them have those rules a few times. Where
true.
Like, yeah,
D weapons did exist.
I've got prism cannons in the closet in there. There was a little period of time in 9th edition.
Melted guns should kill what they shoot because you don't have a defense against a melted gun.
Yeah, I mean,
I take that back. Unless you have like a void shield, if you have something of that nature.
Yeah. Even that, I mean, Melta is a
because it's
sun at something.
But I'm saying, like, armor doesn't. It doesn't matter how thick your armor is. How about that?
Yeah, like it's all about how you want to define shields. If a shield is a piece of energy that it uses energy to stop whatever is coming.
If you're deflecting, way. Yes. But I'm saying, like, if you just have a heavy hull, which usually stops bolter fire, las guns, things of that nature, none of that shit should stop. A melted gun.
Yeah, melted guns are incredible. And my favorite melted gun is actually the Blood Angels. And I don't even play Blood Angels. I love the fact that Blood Angels went like, what if they made that a pistol?
How far can it shoot? I don't know. How far can you touch?
Yeah.
It's effectively punch range.
Yeah. The Blood Angels melted pistols combined with their chain swords to go, yeah.
It's so crazy.
If you're close to me.
Inferno pistol is one of my favorite weapons because they're shooting something that, again, is firing a small sun, and they're firing it at about jab range.
Yeah. If they were to miss, they'd take their foot off.
Yeah.
It's a really cool weapon. And Melta, unfortunately, is lower strength than most vehicles in the game.
Yeah.
Has it ever been stronger?
Now, Melta's used to be, well,
it used to be
I'm gonna go way back in the day. Thank you very much. Melta used to get 2d6 for vehicle penetration.
Oh, that's right.
And also, Melta back in the day used to get a d12 plus a d20 in second edition.
Yeah.
I went back a little bit.
We should do a cast on second edition and be like, hey, guys, here's how many dice you used to have to bring.
Yep.
And templates.
That was 26 years ago.
Yeah, you'd bring a backpack to go to games for all the extra stuff.
Oh, you'd have everything.
It was cool as hell. Anyway, but Melta just disappoints, in my mind, brutal in tabletop because it should be, I shoot you with Melta, fine, maybe I miss, but if I hit, you're wounded and you're dead. That's what it should be every time. And instead it's say, it was a glancing blow.
No,
I hit you with a sun. It glanced.
Yeah, the sun was not good to me.
Yeah, I was wearing SPF 80 million. And so your sun does nothing.
I'm totally good. I took a wound. I shrugged it off.
So after them, we'll move on to kind of a more common one.
You know what? I got to get my chi back together. And I said this a couple times, but this is definitely another chi time because we just went from harnessing the power of the sun to autocannons.
To an autocannon.
Autocannons
are real. That's the best way. They're real. We have them today. It's the rapid fire gun that shoots a large caliber.
It also functions really well on the table.
The autocannon versus heavy bolter is not that significant. They're pretty similar weapons. That's the best way to explain it. They're just the autocannon's almost like a bigger heavy bolter.
Yeah. I mean, the autocannon, to be honest with you, again, to be fair. Mm-hmm. Autocannons, fantastic. Lore to tabletop autocannons and autocannon. You know what I mean? It does well. It can take out tanks. It can take out infantry. It does what it is. It's a bunch of big slugs fired at people.
One I do laugh at is actually next to the heavy stubber, which actually does the inverse. The heavy stubber performs better on the tabletop than it does in the lore.
Yes.
The heavy stubber is a 50 cal machine gun. It's just it's a large machine gun. That's all it is. In the lore, it's effectively useless except for unarmed masses.
It's weird because now that
the planetary defense forces use them for like crowd control.
Because I was going to say they're the t-shirt guns of that. On the game, it's actually heavy stubbers are vehicle mounted most of the time.
Yeah. Well, I laugh because in the lore, and it calls us out in the lore, a space marine's armor is immune.
Yeah,
to a heavy stubber round.
Yeah, just it basically hits the armor and dissipates.
And everyone who's played the game is going, I died to one.
All the time.
Yeah. Yes, you did. I have them on all of my guard decks.
Also, in the game, in the lore, they are these shoot randomly in the crowds.
Yeah, wildly inaccurate. It's a garbage machine gun in the lore. It shoots things and everything's unarmed.
Highly accurate. Yeah,
and they're all massed together. You'll take a few of them out. But if you're playing in the game, it's like, oh yeah, I've got massive range, incredible accuracy, and I'm killing Space Marines routinely with it, even Terminators.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't actually understand.
That's why so they're weird. Is this the only gun that's better?
It might be.
I'm thinking about anything else. You know what? I'm going to dwell on that while we're talking.
It might be the only one that's better on the tabletop than it is in the lore.
You know, let's talk about a cool gun, though.
What?
Grav cannons.
Grav cannon?
Grav cannons are awesome. You know why? Because they're wildly made up and it's fantastic.
So grav cannons come from the dark age of technology. They're not made anymore. So every grav cannon in the game, unless you're Brad and you're playing a drop pod full of them, multiple drop pods, grav cannons are incredibly rare. If a soldier carrying a grav cannon, Space Marine, carrying a grav cannon is killed, you have to pick that grav cannon up because you can never make it again.
Whoa. So you could make it sometimes.
How?
If you had to put one on a vehicle, for instance. Well,
that is the weird part. Grav cannons are the same as the grav drives. So right now, AdMech has no problem making semi-flying vehicles.
A ton of grav powered things.
Yeah. Well, the grav gun is kind of like when in a video game when someone takes a mining laser and then turns it into another weapon.
Yeah, it's like you literally
grab gun.
You switch two wires.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it does this. So yes, to Brad's point, the Imperium has no problem making grav vehicles, but a grav gun is impossible. Now, let's talk about what a grav gun is, though, because it's actually super cool.
It's awesome.
So it shoots a gravity well at a target. Whatever it hits, it makes a gravity well, so basically a mini black hole, and crushes everything in that area down into a tiny little spot.
It is also not fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a sucky way.
It could turn a Space Marine into a ball. Yep. A Space Marine in armor into a ball.
And it crushes you down while it's doing it.
Yeah. They are one of the most devastating weapons in the lore. They're one of the most devastating weapons. They're used actually in siege weapons because they can pull a wall down via Imperial ships use them to actually shoot at other Imperial ships to crack them into pieces. They are amazing guns that have had garbage rules.
Yeah, the second edition rules are cool as shit.
Yeah, that was...
Their actual rules right now are not bad. I like that they have anti-vehicle too.
Yeah,
so that's true.
I just feel like there should be... I like the idea of them being this sustained weapon where like you hit something and
I like in the tabletop that they're anti-vehicle. They should be anti-vehicle, anti-building, but we don't really have building rules. But they're anti-vehicle. Yes, they do wildly less to people than they should. But I do like at least their
damage weapon. It should have been. We're about to do my favorite weapon. They should have been like more of a devastating wound, a mortal wound type thing. That's what I'm saying. It should just kill. That's what I'm saying.
I was going to say, yes, you're not wrong. Because if they did lore in the game, it should do all or nothing. You should just do dev wounds or nothing.
Yeah, it's like if it's a vehicle, maybe it just damages people. But if it's infantry, it's...
Yeah, but the dev wound still covers that. They should just do dev wounds.
I agree. So now we'll move on to what is actually my favorite weapon in the game, Volkite. Volkite comes from the dark age of technology, but we still can produce it. They actually still know how to make them. Cool side note on Volkite, it actually was the original weapon for the Great Crusade. The Imperium, and then the Emperor made so many troops, he had to move to Bolters because they couldn't make enough Volkite.
If you go into the Horus Heresy, a ton of the walkers have Volkites.
Yeah. Volkite are, it's actually funny because it's just a ray gun. That's what it is. It's just a ray gun. But when it hits something, if it hits organic matter, it sets off a chain reaction and combusts it. So it creates your whole body just combusts to the point where if it hits a gap in your armor and hits your body, you will disintegrate inside of your own armor.
I think the Volkites are one of the runners up here to be the best lore versus tabletop.
Yeah, because the Volkite should just, again...
Well, I'm saying, but it's low strength, and it's devastating wounds.
Oh, you're saying the best representation.
Right. because it's, again, one of the all or nothing
weapons. I think the problem is we'll get to the melee weapons, and the melee weapons are actually pretty close.
No, I'm saying as far as their range so far.
Oh, yeah, range, yeah. I think, yeah, you're right. Volkite's probably the best.
Yeah, they fire, they do very, very similar in lore to what they do on the table.
I wish they were damaged too. That's my thing. Is that I wish Volkite
true, was true. Too, just because once you fail, yeah, say once you fail to save, a Marine should die.
Yeah, that's like a Volkite, because the idea is that.
Yeah, if you're affected, you're just dead.
You're dead.
You either didn't get it hit and affected, or you just did.
And Volkite's all, I mean, there have been some incredibly broken models over the years with Volkite on them. Looking at you, Leviathans. But now, anyway, a lot of you who play Blood Angel or Space Wolves are just really confused about this first half of our cast, about all these things we've been talking about.
We said Inferno Pistols.
I've never seen those. I don't know what you're talking about.
What are these coward weapons?
Yeah. Oh, the thing that cowards use? No. What if I want to fight like a man? Well, good news. 40K has some incredible melee weapons that... If you have a degree in physics,
you're going to be mad.
Just turn this off now. Just go ahead. Turn this off now.
Hold on.
I appreciate you as a listener, and I want to keep you as one, and I don't want you to have.
I'm not even going to look forward to the notes. Are we going to start with your favorite weapon? Why are you such a big fan of the chainsword, John?
The chainsword. Okay. The chainsword, I'm assuming, came from Evil Dead. That's where I assume their idea came from here of like, what if we put a chainsaw in someone's hand, they hit people with it?
No. Nope. How about a sword? But it's got to be a sci-fi sword. Well, we'll put a chainsaw on the sword.
It is the least practical weapon I could ever imagine. So a chainsword is a sword. So you have a holt, and you have a giant chainsaw coming out the top of it. That the teeth are only exposed on one side because you wouldn't want to cut yourself with it, obviously. Like a sword, which is pointy on both sides. But I digress. The teeth are made of ceramite, and they're sharpened to a level where they're impossibly sharp. So they're supposed to be able to tear through anything they encounter with absolute ease.
But you're chopping. You'd have to chop, push the button.
Yeah.
And then continue to go.
This is where, and again, I don't know if any of our listeners have used a chainsaw or have not used a chainsaw, but if you've ever used a chainsaw, not the ones that the weird lumberjacks use in Bumble F Nowhere to cut down a tree.
Dude, imagine
the one that all the normals have.
Seriously, imagine holding a chainsaw out.
As a straight arm, hold a chainsaw. The reason I hate this is that, first off, the weight distribution on this is insane. It is just a broken wrist. It's insane.
They're space marines. They're very strong.
Yeah, I mean, there's no amount of hydraulics you could put in a wrist to make this thing actually wieldable. But that's not even the dumbest part.
But the weight would be everywhere.
Yeah, the other piece is that the way a chainsaw works, the chainsaws work, they're linear. They go down and they make contact and they cut in one angle the whole way through.
But it doesn't slice.
If you ever use a chainsaw on a tree and you're cutting the tree, if the weight of the tree comes back onto the chainsaw, it actually, the teeth stop moving. It jams it.
I do love the fact that we are really focused on the actual real life technology of a chainsaw.
The reason the chainsaw, I like, I'm going to give them credit. The reason the chainsaw is funny to me is that from a physics standpoint, it is no sense. I mean, we're beyond because this is a personal pet peeve of mine. If you're going to do sci-fi, go all the way. You do stuff like grav guns, you know, Vulcan.
Oh yeah,
all the way. I can't argue against them because it's so beyond the realm of reality. I don't care. But when you play in the realm of reality, I get to kind of have some questions here. And my issue with chainswords is I love the aesthetic of what if we made a sword out of a chainsaw. That's objectively awesome, but it would never work. In a million years, it would constantly get stuck. Then you get stabbed. That's what would happen with a chainsaw. You'd take the chainsaw to someone's armor. It would get stuck in their armor. He would look at you while it's stuck in his armor and punch you in the face. So that's my issue with the chainsaw.
Let's go to cool weapons.
Yeah. Let's have some
fun. Skip it. I don't want to talk about chain weapons anymore because it's dumb.
Just do power weapons.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
Power weapons.
Because, actually, and this is good because exactly what I just talked about. My issue with the chainsword was they tried to make an explanation of how the chainsaw would actually function. Power weapons, you know how they explained it?
Nanotechnology, yes. Baby.
There's an
energy. The catch-all for every sci-fi. I love power weapons. Why does this work? Because screw you. That's why it works.
Well, how's a power weapon work? Well, you take a normal weapon and then we put an energy field around it. What's that energy field do? It makes it better.
You know what?
How does that function? Shut up.
Let me give you a counter argument, John. Science. Yeah. Be quiet.
So power weapons are cool as hell. And we'll start with the first one, which is, again, stupid but awesome, the Power Fist.
I love it.
Oh, the Power Fist is...
It's wildly inane, and it's one of my favorite weapons.
It's a hand. It is, for those of us who've ever bought Hulk hands, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a Hulk hand
covered by lightning and nanotechnology.
So Space Marines, Terminators, a couple random guardsmen all have these things. Kalgar is the best of them all, who has two of them.
Gauntlets of Ultramar. Yeah. Thank you very much.
And what they do is when I have my Power Fist on and I punch something with my Power Fist.
You power it up first.
True.
With nanotechnology.
And then when it makes contact, the energy explodes out and it hits harder.
Because it's a power fist.
Yeah.
Not just a fist, my friend. A power fist.
I like Power Fist. I'm actually with Brad on it. Is it?
It's dumb? Awesome.
Is it dumb? Yeah, but it's amazing.
Yeah, it's super stupid.
I love it. I prefer the next one, which is the Chain Fist, because it takes all the joy of the Power Fist and adds a chainsaw underneath it.
Yes. So a chain fist is legitimately a power fist, and they strapped underneath the power fist. So you still have
a power fist.
A power fist. And then you have a chain.
A chain sword under it.
And it's also a specially done up chain fist that's specifically designed to cut through metal because of not just nanotechnology, but monofilament.
they use the word monofilament randomly in this one too.
Because it literally cuts through armor because it goes through between the atoms.
Yes. I will be honest, the aesthetics are cool and the lore is actually much more functional than a regular chainsword because it is, first of all, it's attached to you. So the whole thing of just breaking your wrist is gone. It's actually underneath your forearm. So it does make a bit, it's just going to be heavy, but it just is harder to wield. And I also can't talk shit on it because the Space Wolves use them in a way that's just the most
bad. Space Wolves used them in the best way ever, which is they didn't believe, well, in the back in the day.
Yeah.
They didn't trust that newfound crazy technology like teleportation. So they would board other space vehicles by shooting Terminators with chain fists, like bullets at the vehicles, cut a hole through, and then beat the shit out of everybody inside. Yeah.
The way that they use them, I like more, because it also makes more sense, where they basically, it's almost like having a Swiss Army knife underneath it. Yeah. So they land on something, cut a hole in it, go through the hole, and then use the power fist to punch everything
in the hole. I was going to say, the chain fist, actually, I like, because for me, the chain fist is used as the utility thing.
Yeah.
And then the power fist is what you actually use to fight with.
Exactly. It makes more sense. Where it's like,
and then if you hit a tank, you would stick
the... I jump on the tank. I cut a hole in the tank. I jump in the tank and I power fist everyone inside the tank.
I like the chain fist. Yeah, chain fist is one of my favorites.
Yeah, chain fist is cool as hell. Rules have been hit and miss, but they've been pretty good. One I don't like is the power sword, just because it felt like they were phoning it in.
Yeah.
That's all my issues. The power sword is
fine.
It's the same concept. and there are levels to power sword. So I'm going to caveat that. The standard power sword is just a sword with an energy field around it that makes it sharper.
Nanotechnology.
Right. Now, there are levels to power swords. There are some, like, you know, relic power. The cool thing about power swords is there are, like, relic power swords. Let me say it that way.
Well, the problem is that power enter blank.
Yeah.
Is they're wildly different.
Right. Like Eisenhorn's power sword is amazing.
It's also a demon weapon.
But yeah, fair. But so the power swords are pretty cool. It just, there's a little bit of phoning it in where it's like,
it's a catch-all.
Yeah, we want to have swords in our game.
Yeah,
but that doesn't make any sense.
But remember, like horses. The why they're so different is Some are demonic weapons. Some are more powerful. But the thing is that all of these weapons, it used to be, if I hit you with this and you don't have an invulnerable save, you didn't get a save. That's the mechanic in the game.
That's the way it was supposed to be. And these extra power, some of these are powered elements where it's an energy field. Some of them are demonic.
Well, the power field is, again, air quotes, because it was powered by
something.
Yeah. And it was all different for each one.
One of the things that does make power swords cool, though, is that because they have an energy field, you can turn it on and off. So the idea of power swords, I think, was that a space marine could become really adept at it, like Lucius, who could practice. You could practice with the power.
But you could go full go.
Yeah, and you wouldn't hurt anybody.
Right. Because they're in armor.
Yeah, because the swords are dull, because it's the power that actually makes them sharp. So these 100%. Guys, they can full go. So you get some cool stories of these incredible duelsmen who are in their proficiency with a power sword's incredible, blah, 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 blah. Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Just say blah, 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 and some of the greatest swordsmen in the entirety of not even just the Imperium, the game.
If you have Disney Plus, you can go to Disney Plus. You can click on Raiders of the Lost Ark. You can fast forward to, and I check this, minute 40, second 25, and you'll discover the value of the sword.
You know what? I mean, that's a cool scene.
It's a great scene.
Also, it was because Harrison Ford was sick. Look it up.
Exactly. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, there was supposed to be a sword fight. They did this instead, and everyone, and it's one of the best scenes in cinema. So go down.
But also, there's some pretty cool swords.
Yeah.
With power weapons.
All right.
You're selling them short. This is one of my, you're going to one of my favorites.
Yes. So lightning claws. The only knock on lightning claws is there's no lightning.
I mean, there kind of is. In some of the novels, they have lightning crackling off.
They do. And in some of the codexes, they do not. And by some of them, I mean...
All of them.
Yeah, all ever in
the history of codexes. I mean, if you read, like, for instance, Abaddon's bodyguard regimen, when they talk about them...
Oh, they're just staring. Lightning was crackling.
Crackling.
The talons of Horus.
None of that happens in the game.
I've read it numerous times. I've never shot lightning out of them ever. So, but lightning claws are... the function of GW writing lore and reading Marvel and being a big fan of Wolverine.
Well, one of the thing that they're supposed to be that they do a bad job of is they're a weapon that was supposed to pass through because it was, again, the monofilament type deal. That's why they worked on vehicles and people is they just passed through because of their field. The lightning field was supposed to... Punch through armor, punch through.
It makes no sense. You've got...
Yeah, it's sci-fi.
You've got claws that are just going to get full of things.
They're not.
It's going to be like a kebab at the end of it. It's going to be an armor kebab.
Why do you hate...
On the end of your hand.
Why do you hate nanotechnology so much?
My issue with lightning claws is just that they don't make sense to me. Like, you don't really want to have your melee weapon be that close to your body. And slashing at things like you're an angry cat is just not that functional. The idea in the lore, though, does make sense. It's supposed to be a silent weapon. You could sneak up on people while wearing space marine armor.
What's that? Hold on, guys. I heard something. Nanotechnology. Lightning claw.
Yeah, they're dumb. Anyway. They're actually cool.
They look sick as fuck.
They're inverse of me. I don't like what they're supposed to be. I love my models having
them. Yeah, they look awesome. Yeah.
When I had Space Marines, I had Vanguard vets with jump packs and lightning claws. It's just a good look. Some other kind of fun power weapons on that is they've turned everything into power weapons. You can do it to anything.
True. It's power. You know what? I'll read down the list. Yeah. Power maul, power axes, power maces, power flails. There's power, yes.
Yeah.
Just put it on. It could be power stick. It'd be power anything.
Yeah, it could be power rock. That being said, there is one more.
You mean the greatest weapon?
This one,
Brad in the game,
fully aligned on as the best weapon in the entire game, and that is the Thunder Hammer.
Yeah.
So remember a power fist? What if instead of a fist, we made a hammer?
Full of lightning.
It doesn't shoot out.
I don't care, but it's at least on the weapon and modeled sometimes.
It is modeled sometimes. And it's a two-handed hammer with an energy field that can stop a tank dead in its tracks.
They're so good.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll be honest, this has been, from a weapon standpoint,
if you're playing in 10th, they're okay. If you're playing in any other edition,
yeah, thanks,
holy.
Brad.
Holy.
Thanks, Brad. That's all I'm going to say.
I had so many of them.
Yeah. Thank you. How many did you run at the end of 9th in your Space Wars?
15, 20, 25, 40.
40, yeah. 40 Thunder Hammers.
They were good. Yeah. They were really good.
Weird. Now they're not good anymore. A lot of people didn't magnetize their models, Brad.
Yeah. They should have. As soon as they saw me playing, yeah. They should have.
Oh, so it's, but anyway, the Thunder Hammer is just utilized by cool units. Space Wolves just sort of carry them.
Also, characters are known for Thunder Hammers. Yes. Yeah. The Thunder Hammer does work. It is awesome. It is awesome when they do it in the anime types. Deal. Yeah,
the Thunder Hammer is actually, I think, the best weapon lore to tabletop, because in the Black Library novels, it's amazing. In the animations, it's amazing. Amazing. In the Codex stories, it's amazing. On the tabletop, it's amazing. There is no time, even the 10th edition, with Thunder Hammers aren't it's that still good. They're still really good.
But they also look cool as shit.
Oh, your Terminators, Assault Terminators carrying a Thunder Hammer and a Storm Shield looks cool.
Or characters with a heavy Thunder Hammer, mm-hmm. with a huge Thunder Hammer on it. Oh, super good.
Thunder Hammers rock. The Primarchs carry them.
Great scope, too, because a lot of them have some of the characters have the lightning on the Thunder Hammer in the sculpt.
Perfect.
It looks cool.
They are insane. And what makes it, the reason called a Thunder Hammer is because the energy in it, when it makes contact, gives out the sound of a sonic boom.
Yeah.
On contact.
It legitimately. So, yeah. Is a thunderclap.
Yeah, it is cool as hell. This one, GW, nailed it. A single strike from a Thunder Hammer can kill a Space Marine, even though it won't go through the armor, by the way, because the force is so much, it'll actually basically liquefy them on the inside. They can kill Carnifex in a single shot.
That's the heavy Thunder Hammer. Yeah. The big versions, basically, of it, because they hold more power.
Exactly. And they are cool as hell. Space Wolves, Brad.
Yep. Also, they made the Woofen weapons so bad that I had so many of those.
Now, there is one more melee weapon that we haven't discussed, and it is possibly the greatest melee weapon in the entire game. It is imbued with the power of the Emperor of Mankind. It creates fear in any enemy that sees it, and envy by other soldiers who see you with it, and that is the Imperial Shovel.
Modeled on all Krieg models.
It can dig, it can slash, it can bash, and you can cook with it and eat with it. It is, unfortunately, unique to only the luckiest Imperial Guardsmen who can have it. But I do want to, I would be remiss if I didn't.
Did not talk about it?
Yeah, if I didn't talk about the greatest of all the weapons, which is the Imperial Shovel. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry, but you should collect Imperial Guard Death Corps of Krieg, because it's amazing.
And they all have a shovel.
They all have a shovel. And they at one point had rules for the shovels. They don't anymore, which is too bad, because it was a better time. But with that feels like a good enough coverage of Weapons of the Imperium. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Next week, we're going to take off Brad's muzzle.
It is time.
We are going to begin.
Are we doing Bruce Buffer or Michael Buffer on this? It's time.
The one who didn't get the sexual assault charges.
Going with Bruce Buffer on that.
So, giving a heavy side of this, I also love Eldar, which is why this is going to be tough. We're going to start next week. The plan next week is to go into the Eldar gods and the creation of the craft worlds. And then from there, to start really diving hard into this. We're probably going to do some Eldar, then we'll move away from Eldar and come back to more Eldar later, because I don't want to give you guys 9 straight episodes of Eldar, which
there's so much stuff to talk about. And hopefully we still get a good response and we continue to do this, because I'm super excited about upcoming. You don't even know how excited I get.
Eldar is Brad's like real happy.
I am so pumped to talk about this.
Orcs are mine. I love orc. Eldar, I find awesome. They're more cool to me. Brad, the story is just a wreck show.
I'm so excited.
So anyway, next week we're doing Eldar. So buckle up. Anyway, with that, this has been John Barsotti and Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you guys next week.